Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Happy New Year, Philip.
Happy New Year to you.
2020.
That's right, it's the roaring 20s now.
Any New Year's resolutions?
I try to do just one or two, but, you know, as I get older, as I'm sure you do too, try to be much better about it rather than big goals. I actually have not had a chance to sit down and think about it. What about you?
Mine is weight always.
During
2019, I managed to lose 20 pounds and get them all back one by one. And I ended the year 5 pounds lighter than the year before.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. It's interesting that we think that just because the year changes, that we will be more able to accomplish the goals that we could set for ourselves any other time of the year.
But I do think that there are moments in time that are good to, I'd say, like, to retire bad habits. I sometimes use that phrase.
We come from a Judeo-Christian tradition of acknowledging seasons and time, so that should be fine.
Right.
So we are gathering today to discuss the Feast of the Epiphany. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, yeah, so the Epiphany of the Lord is celebrating these three men who come to visit Jesus, and I guess the Epiphany is that it's clear that this is, if not quite understood, this is a Messiah, that this baby is special.
Two things I wanted to say. Epiphany means manifestation,
right.
So the manifestation of the child Jesus to the nations, because these people come from the East. And then second, that it's a big deal in Spain. I mean, the way Santa is here, well, when I speak about Spain, you have to remember that I lived there 21 years ago. So maybe things. So now we celebrate Halloween.
Well,
I saw my twin nieces dressed up for Halloween. I said, "What the heck is going on?" Because we used to get customs on Mardi Gras on the day before Lent started. So things are, Americans are changing culture everywhere. But the three kings, the Feast of the Kings, the Magi, whatever you want to call them, it was big deal in Spain. Yeah.
Right. Why don't you read the gospel?
Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12, which is the gospel that we always read. This year we are reading Matthew, but on the Feast of the Epiphany, we don't rotate gospels. This is always it.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way."
Great gospel. I've always amazed at the transformation of this. Upon encountering Jesus, first they look for Jesus among the powerful and in Jerusalem. Upon encountering Jesus, they go home another way. It means that they have been transformed, they have been changed. And they know not to go back to powers to be or to go through Jerusalem again. It's a great gospel of showing a transformation, a conversion, right? In these men from the East.
Yeah, that last line is just the most powerful. I get a little stuck in that. That's what I just focus on this feast always, because it really is the call for all of us to go home another way. So it's a call to constant conversion. It's a call to us to realize that our life of discipleship is a pilgrimage. Also just obedience to the Lord's call, mm-hmm. not to be fixed in our ways, but obedient to the Lord's call, which might be another way. And that's so hard to live. It's so hard to change.
You could give a retreat, or you could even write a book about encounters with Jesus and how they keep happening in the gospel. And this is probably the second one that you would take. I think I would take encounters from the different gospels, and this would be the third encounter after Mary encountering Jesus in the Annunciation, and then the Annunciation for Joseph in Matthew. This is another encounter with Jesus that transforms these people, matures them.
Who are these three men, by the way? So I've heard different, you know, there have been different thoughts about that.
It doesn't even say that there are three. It said, but the gifts are three, so that's why the tradition has had them. And they come from the East, and the Epiphany was the universal meaning of Christ to the nations. So traditionally, we have pictures. In the Middle Ages, there were pictures like the black king, and there were kings, when it doesn't say that either. But a black, a white, and a red-headed in Spain, it was the mythology of the kings was the three representing three different races
or continents that might have been known. So we're not really sure, but we use this term wise men sometimes, and I'm not sure that that's the best
maybe they're wise at the end, right?
Maybe at the
end. Not very wise at the beginning.
Right. So I'm actually asking for a Christmas gift from you, or an Epiphany gift.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this in the past on this feast, but I love it. Give me your sense of what those three gifts mean, because I think this is always really good, and I want to write it down.
It's a bit of a problem because it's one of these homilies that you preach once, and then that's what people remember, but you want to preach something new the following years, and some people still remember that. So once I thought that the three gifts that the Magi give to Jesus represent the three main areas of human concern: gold, our need for material wealth to be able to support ourselves and our families; frankincense, all this other sphere or area in life that is the relationship with God. Frankincense has always been used for prayer and to relate to God. And the third big human concern, myrrh, was used for pain, like the Advil of the antiquity, right? But also to embalm the bodies of the dead, so death and suffering. So these three areas seem to be represented. And I want to think that the Magi bring to Jesus, to the child Jesus, these three questions about these three great areas in life, and that somehow they get an answer and they go back home transformed and with answers to this. And Jesus will answer as an adult to these three areas. No, death is not the end. Suffering is part of life, like even his own suffering on the cross. And he will speak. How many times Jesus speaks about gold, about money in the Gospels, right?
You could do a whole, this is your thing.
I don't want to claim that it's mine. It's been developed through the years from reading it in many places, something that members of my community have preached many times, I think. And it has been seasoned through the years, so that's the idea.
It has, but I've never heard that understanding, and you've really explained it very well. My point was, you could have a whole parish mission on that, you know, and I've never heard it quite that way. This is all about the universal character of the gospel, too, as we read this as a reminder to us that the gospel is not meant to be held back or to be restricted, but it's just it's for everyone and in every time and in every season and every situation in life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, Vatican II, says it in its own way, you know, Jesus Christ is the answer to every human question.
1 year after the Epiphany and after preaching this, and I don't know if people perceive that, or we were shy about it, but we put three programs together. One about gold, that was financial peace, that helps people to budget and to not use credit. Then we put together a grief group for the myrrh, for the death issue. And we started Taizé prayer to answer to the frankincense part. But we were very shy. I thought it was a great idea, but we were very shy about it. But you could preach this on the Epiphany and then to develop a whole pastoral plan for a parish through this homily.
I think you're right about that. Mm. Well, good. I think there's a lot here. As you mentioned right at the beginning, it's a beautiful gospel. And so sometimes it's worth just to kind of let that sit and kind of at a loss for words, because there's just a lot here and it's just very beautiful.
And you can use it in November in my faith, in our family faith formation program. We have adult section and it was on the Gospel of Matthew. That's how you can teach a lot of scripture, or how to understand scripture with this gospel. There's so much symbology, so much beauty there, so much history, so much everything. And this theological idea of the encounter of Christ that people insist on. Look at this very fruitful encounter.
Yeah. You know, how about we plan next week and start out our new year, start with that weight loss. And I'm going to start with my initiatives, certainly include that as well.
Weight loss is like holiness. It's something that's going to, the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of weight loss will be with me for the rest of my life. Anyway, thank you for listening. We love that we have hundreds of people following. We love doing this. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we are very thankful. So see you next week, Philip.
See you next week, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.